Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Holy Gospel from John chapter 17, Jesus prayed to the Father for the disciples, for the church, and for you, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name. This is our text. On Thursday, we celebrated the Ascension of our Lord with services at noon and at 7 p.m. But let's be honest when it comes to the Ascension. Sometimes Christ's Ascension seems unfair. So unfair. Jesus goes up, we're left behind. He's no longer in the world, at least not in the same way, but we are in the world. And we're reminded of it every single day. He gets to be with the Father. We sinners are stuck here with other sinners. And if we're not careful, if we give room to this feeling and allow it to grow, then bitterness toward our Lord, resentment, and even unbelief will take root. Jesus wants nothing to do with a poor me, woe is us Christian pity party. So don't start one. And if the party music is already blaring in your head, turn it off. If the streamers of self-pity have been hung, tear them down. And if you have balloons filled with bitterness, whether toward God or toward others, pop them. We are in the world, yes, but we are not of the world, and we renounce every worldly attitude. Stop the pity party. Sit with Jesus today for a few minutes and listen. Listen not to a lecture. Listen not to a sermon. Jesus hasn't come to correct you constantly. He hasn't come to lay into you or to dress you down. Listen to him pray. That's what we're hearing in John chapter 17, a prayer. Listen to him talk with the Father. And think about the circumstances in which Jesus prays this prayer from John 17. The cross is right in front of him, only a few hours away. And yet as Jesus prays, there's no self-pity, no resentment, no bitterness in his words, in his voice. Though he'll soon sweat tears of blood, though he'll soon feel the sting of the whip, though he'll soon endure the very worst that bitter and resentful world can do, he isn't thinking of himself. He isn't praying for himself. He prays for you, for all of you, and for each and every single one of you. And this prayer that we heard a part of today, this prayer is filled with love, a love that is fierce, a love that is protective. You might remember that Jesus once said of his sheep that no one will snatch them out of his hand. No one. He won't let go of the ones his Father has given to him. And in this prayer, we overhear this love, a love which will protect us to the end. A love that continues, a love that lives on, because Jesus lives on and he lives on to love. And when he ascended into heaven, he did not ascend into heaven to go far away. He did not ascend into heaven to leave the earth spinning on its own. He ascended in order to love us from there. And he loves us, his people, by lifting us up in prayer. Jesus prays, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Keep them, the saints of our Savior Lutheran Church in Westminster, in your name. For all Christians, including us, and for those who will be converted, Jesus boldly prays, and he boldly prays that we may remain in the true faith. that we may grow and continue in it and not fall away from it. How much we need this prayer of Jesus. In his great mercy, the Father has given us to Jesus, his Son. He put us into the care of his Son. And now, as the Son was about to leave the world and return to the Father, he commends his own back into the Father's hands. He prays for the Father to keep his disciples and to keep us steadfast in the one true faith to the end, because this is God's good and gracious will. He prays that we might persevere in the faith, but he prays to the Father because he knows that persevering and remaining in the faith is not about what we do, but it's the Father's good work in us. And he does this by his word of truth. Anyone who remains a Christian to the end remains a Christian to the end because of what the Father has done to keep them in the faith. And anyone who returns to the faith after being away returns to the faith because of what the Father has done by his word. Jesus continues in this prayer, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." When Jesus was visibly present with the disciples during his ministry, and again for 40 days after he rose from the dead, he taught them, he admonished them day after day, and he made known the Father to them. And he successfully kept all the disciples entrusted to him. We heard in Acts chapter 1, the naming of those disciples again. That even though they were scared out of their wits when Jesus was arrested, yet they are there 40 days later and 50 days later. Except for Judas Iscariot, the son of destruction, who sold his place for the love of money. But now Jesus' earthly ministry draws to a close, and so Jesus prays for them, and he prays for them in their presence. They get to overhear this prayer. And when they hear this prayer, they hear in Jesus' words the personal interest that he has in each and every one of them. And they hear about his love that is unchanging. And they hear how Jesus is leaving nothing unfinished. He is leaving nothing undone, which will help them or help us in the trials and difficulties of this world and in the battle with our sinful flesh. You see, it's not like Jesus is going away in his ascension and leaving us on his own. It's not as if Jesus is going away and leaving things that are unfinished. Everything that is needed, he has done and he continues to do. And what a comfort this is for us. What a joy for us it is to hear this prayer and to know Jesus' heart for us. As Christians, we are beloved by Jesus, and we are cherished by the Father. And we are beloved and cherished not simply because we have our lives in perfect order or because we have successfully battled against each and every sin, but we are beloved and cherished because of the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Because he was consecrated for our redemption. And having given us to his Son, the Father will also continue to guard and protect and keep us. This is the promise that we have. Jesus goes on in his prayer, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." How is it that Jesus keeps us his? He keeps us his through the Father's word. and through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit at work in that word. The world hates us because we trust God's word and because we let that word guide our and shape our lives. His word is the foundation of our faith and our hope and our love. And guarded by the word, no power on earth and not even the gates of hell can harm us or overcome us. Every time we gather here, we gather under the word of God. We gather to be guarded and kept by that word, that the Father might do exactly as Jesus prayed. You'll notice that Jesus doesn't pray that we would be taken out of the world. That time will come. Having gone to prepare a place for you, he will come again and take you to himself, that where he is, there you may be also. I know some long to be taken out of this world, but not yet. For now, he prays that the Father would keep us while we are in the world. He prays that the Father would shield us against the devil and all his works and all his ways. By his word, God guards and protects us from our enemies. By his word, God does not allow them to deceive us or mislead us into false belief, into despair, or into other great shame and vice. The danger is always present. Those who trust in themselves or in their own strength will always fail. But God does not fail, and he does not fail to guard and keep us by his word. So remember what Jesus prays. You are in the world, but you are not of the world, as he isn't of the world. Christ and the unbelieving world have nothing in common. They have different interests, they have different desires, and they are headed in different directions. Our path goes in a different way than the world's path, because we are following our Lord. And as Christians, we can't be at peace with the world, and we cannot be at peace with our sin, because to be at peace with the world and to be at peace with our sin is to be content living under the ruler of this world, the devil. And Jesus would not have that. Jesus prays for the Father to keep us separate from the world, to keep us sanctified and set apart and consecrated to God. He claims us as his own, and he claims us for his purposes and for his work. Even as the Father sent the Son into the world to preach and bring salvation, so the Son, in turn, sends us into the world to share the redemption that he earned for all. We are witnesses for the truth. And Christ has promised, and he will build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, but he will build the church on his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. He has redeemed us, and so we are his. And God's word sanctifies us. It sets us apart. It makes us holy. Yes, there are sins that still continue to trouble us and weigh us down. There are sins that continue to tempt us. But you are forgiven in Christ, and you are forgiven by what he did for you on the cross. Yes, the devil is still a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But our Lord gives us strength to resist the devil and to do the Father's will. And he leads us to confess his name to others. You see, Jesus isn't afraid of the world, and he isn't afraid to leave us in the world for a time. But in fact, he has placed us here. Even amid the trouble and difficulty that we have, he has placed us here to be his people, to bear his name, and to do his work. We are in the world not as a punishment to us, but as salt of the earth. We are here to salt the world, to savor it with the word of God and with the salvation that Christ has brought. So let us forgive and love, and let us confess the name of our Lord, even as we are forgiven and we are loved, and his name has been confessed to us. Today, Jesus stands before his Father, interceding for you, praying for you. He doesn't want to take you out of the world, but to send you into the world, And he promises the power of God. He promises the certainty of his love. A love that won't let his people go, but a love that will continue to reach out into the world until the day he returns and brings a new creation. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no reason for us to have self-pity, and there is no reason for bitterness or resentment, because you are what filled the heart and mind of Christ on the night when he was betrayed, and you are what fill his heart and his mind still, ascended and enthroned at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Jesus who prayed for his disciples before he died is the Jesus who prays for his disciples and for you still. He hasn't stopped. He who defeated sin, death, and the devil is now living and enthroned in heaven, and he is watching over you, and he is praying for you, always praying for you, praying for you now, praying for you until the end of your life, praying for you until the end of the world, your risen, ascended, and exalted Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.